I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Edition of Unrivaled right here, 97.5, 1280 The Zone on the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. I'm Alex Keery in this chair, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Across from me, as usual, on a cloudy and now windy day here in Salt Lake City.
It's a throwback Thursday.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's just a regular old Thursday.
Regular?
Regular old Thursday. Although
regular old throwback Thursday.
I think what happens is at some point during the show, we get enough stories out of old man Scott Mitchell that we can call it Throwback Thursday. Why not? So we've got a lot to get through. First of all, there's a ton of police in the building here at
Vivint. Got the place surrounded.
But don't no. But it's not that kind. It's not like a SWAT presence or anything. It appears to be some sort of a training. I don't know if they. I mean, there's a lot of helmets outside. A lot of guys with shields and stuff. And we had to walk past it. I feel a lot more safe today, though. Here at the building, although we are by ourselves, as usual.
Through like a bunch of them in riot gear.
Yeah.
They were kind of staring me down.
Well,
I think they were wondering if like I was part of like the.
Oh, if you were like a stray, you know, they needed to eyeball.
This is part of the training exercise.
This is part of the training. He's a plant.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, tall white dude walking around. Let's see what's going on here. What's he got?
With a backpack.
Sir, yeah. No backpacks are allowed in the building. Right. I'm going to have to ask you to stand over here.
I left my clear purse at home.
How many times we've been in this building or done broadcasts outside of the building, and we watch people walk into the arena and we go, oof, that thing's not getting past security.
They're going to be turning around
soon.
We'll
see that lady's purse again here in about five minutes. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they made me take it back. That's my Brittany
Holmes.
That's my Brittany Holmes voice. Mahomes? Oh, my gosh, they made me take my purse Mahomes? Back. Patrick! Patrick, tell them who I am. They probably already know from my Instagram, right? All right, we're going to kick the show off, as we always do, with fewer Brittany Mahomes voices. So we're going to kick everything off, as we always do, with the cut right here at the top of the show. Well, it'll play at some point. And when it does, we'll be there for you. So the cut goes like this. First of all the tops of the hour. There we go.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. University of Utah Health, uofuhealth.org. Visit their website, uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of The Cut. As we jump into this show here, Scott, there's been so much, obviously, over the last 24 hours. It's been absolutely amazing. I love every minute of it. Because reality shows, I was really bummed last night. I woke up, kind of couldn't sleep, and so I went down like a Twitter rabbit hole. You know how you do that?
Right.
Or YouTube or whatever it is. You know, you just find yourself reading about stuff or investigating something you would never be reading into. And I watch the stupidest reality shows. It's my guilty pleasure, and I don't feel guilty about it at all, so it's just my pleasure. So I watch Selling Sunset, right?
I think it's kind of embarrassing.
I don't care. Really? What, am I supposed to prove myself to you? I don't care.
Actually, you are.
Listen.
You know, I hold a significant place in your life, Alex.
I know. Well, and as a person who's been on a quote-unquote reality TV show,
yes.
Then you can pull
Did
back
you
the
watch
curtain.
My reality TV
I
show?
Watched definitely okay. some of your reality All TV right. season. So Selling Sunset is this like highly produced show about these cutthroat women selling real estate, right? In Los Angeles. And I was reading this story yesterday, and one of the ladies said, yeah, they have six storyboarders at all time. These editors that go through and they're cutting the show up and everything, they actually create these stories. They have people writing stories of how this quote-unquote reality show is going to go.
Right.
And they're like, by the way, we need to go down this path to create this story.
Yeah.
And I was super bummed out, even though I know what Hollywood is like. I know what
Do you seriously believe that reality TV is real?
Listen, no. Yes.
Everybody,
yes and no.
Everybody knows it's not.
No,
real.
I know
Can
it's
I
not.
Can I just let me educate you really quick? Okay. The only show that was halfway real was actually The Biggest Loser. It of all the reality TV shows, it's the one that's the most real.
No.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Cause the weights are real. They
can't
have to lose weight.
They can't fake. Like, what they do is they...
kicked off the show. You don't lose enough weight. You're gone.
So you go down... They have all these storyboards. It's just based on, like, who loses and who goes home
sure.
and who stays. But it's not... none of it's fake.
Well... the bottom line is...
except for when you cry.
The Selling Sunset stuff, all the drama that happened, they go, oh, yeah, we have like six people who write all these storylines, and they have us go down that route, and it's not necessarily what it is. And I go, oh, shoot. But what I really love is that this Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher drama is 1,000% real.
Oh, yeah.
And it is... look, you couldn't storyboard it better. You couldn't have had somebody sit down and go, all right, what are we going to do? What are we going to say? What are we going to have it figured out? And I've got a few pieces of audio here that I want us to jump into. And so the first one I want to get into is about the thing that set everything off here, right? So and here's what Nick Saban said to kind of kick things off, to really stir the pot and piss everybody off.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So this, did you hear the little donors in the background, by the way?
They all, business they all go, ooh.
Well, and they started like kind of laughing a little bit, like, ha-ha, because it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And then he goes, we didn't buy one. And then some people are still going, ha!
Well, because he actually, like, that's very un-Nick Saban-like. To pull that curtain back a little bit. Yeah, 100%. Here's my take on an NIL, okay? NIL to me is it's like a cherry on top of the sundae. It really is. The bottom line with these players, above anything else, where can I go that's going to give me the best opportunity to play so that I can go play in the NFL? And Nick Saban's always going to get those players. Like, no matter, like, I don't think it changes anything for Nick Saban. I really don't. I think he might be nervous about it because he's used to just having the best classes in the country, bar none, and nothing happens. And so I don't know why Nick Saban's upset, because the money in the NFL is generational money. It's insane the money that's in the NFL.
Yeah, especially now.
I mean, guys used to joke in the NFL that, like Mike, I was at this event. Mike Haynes, who he's a Hall of Fame cornerback, played for the New England Patriots and for the Los Angeles Raiders. Really, really good corner. I mean, and Hall of Famer. And he went to Arizona State, and he got to New England his rookie year, and he's like, I made more money at Arizona State than I'm making in the NFL. And so, but it's changed. Like, it's dramatically changed.
Yeah.
NIL money is never going to touch what they're doing in the NFL. It's just not. And so, ultimately, guys are going to go where they think they have the best shot to actually play on Sunday in the NFL.
So, this kicked off so many things, because then you start thinking to yourself, my heavens, this has just been a bombshell here. Now, there are a couple things that go on, because you start to read about this and you go, or you start listening to it. I listened to I ended up going back and watching this whole kind of interaction with this guy, about the 38-minute deal of him just like speaking to, groups of business owners there in Birmingham.
Right.
And you go, okay, so he's just speaking to some people who, a lot of them could be, a lot of them were obviously Alabama people, and then some. But because they're in Birmingham, it was a mix of other business owners too, who were just there to kind of listen to. And it just went off because he called out Texas A&M by name because they were the number one recruiting class.
You know what? It just dawned on me.
What is it?
Nick Saban. This is a shrewd move right here.
You think it's smart? This is totally big brain Nick Saban here?
Yes. This is just totally dawned on me. He goes, what did he say? I don't think we can sustain that.
Right.
So he's basically calling out all these business owners, boosters, donors, people that may be interested in Alabama football. Look, people, we can't have Texas A&M beating us in recruiting. So
that's the unsustainable part. The money is always going to be able to be sustained.
You have to step it up.
He did warn him. He goes, look, here's the problem with the way this is these collectives are there, they put it together, and a player is basically, you know, given these opportunities. And he talked about all the money. In fact, listen to what he says about how much the money was that these guys were given in terms of an opportunity. Here's what he says. He's not against the NIL. In fact, he was for his players making a bunch of money last year.
Well, you know, name, image, and likeness to me is a great concept for players. Players have always been allowed to work. This is just a different opportunity for them to make money by working and using their own name, image, and likeness, whether it's signing autographs, whether it's doing commercials or ads for some company or whatever. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I told our players when this whole thing started to get agents, get representation, and so you create opportunities for yourself. And our players last year created $3 million worth of opportunity for themselves by doing it the right way. And I have no problem with that. And nobody had a problem on our team with that because the guys that got the money earned it.
So the big thing about this was, then he later says, look, it was about 25 guys. They got 25 guys got $3 million? So it's 25 million. He said 25 guys were the ones who were able to partake kind of this money that was thrown in there. Yeah. That's a ton of money, by the way. Now, here's the thing. Did Jimbo Fisher's guys get $3 million spread around on 25 guys? Probably. Maybe they're right there. Nick Saban is telling you that money is flowing into the pockets of these kids. Now, I think the NIL is good for the players. Yeah, you heard him say that, too. So now you've got Jimbo Fisher responding in his press conference almost, you know, I mean, just beside himself, barely able to get words out, it seemed like, where he was you want to know something about Nick Saban? He doesn't do things right. Like, he just can't even – he can't even contain himself with how insane sounded.
Is this the same Nick Saban who said they should just be happy having a scholarship?
Yes.
And now he's saying the NIL is okay and it's good for these players?
He goes, it's good for the players. But then he goes, implying basically like it's bad for the team, it's bad for the coaching staff because they have to figure it out. It's bad for college football overall. He's making that look like, don't get me wrong, because he can't say, you can't say anything else.
Right.
As coaches now, they have to be on the side of the player. Yeah. They have to say, hey, we're going to create an opportunity. You can go out and find whatever opportunity you want. I'll be over here giving you thumbs up. That's their role in NIL. Now, they're trying to understand
that. But the challenge right now, though, to defend Nick Saban.
Whoa.
Is that this is it's like when you're at the university, right? So you go to the university and then you're there. And you're tied to the university. Your name is out there, your image and your likeness, all that stuff. But it's not before you get to the university. And I think that's where people are going, what's the deal here?
Right, where's the line?
Where's the line? Because, you know, because then the university is stepping in somehow, some form, some fashion. Boosters were never allowed to recruit players in the past.
Right.
That hasn't changed. So somebody's talking to these recruits before they actually get in the front door, and that should be against the rules.
They've said everything. They said in these last two press conferences between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, the war of the worlds. I mean, this has been amazing, amazing viewing and listening. And Jimbo Fisher comes in, and he rolls in and starts defending his university. I've got to defend these 17-year-old kids. He's accusing these 17-year-old kids of breaking the law. Well, is it breaking the law? What are we talking about? And at what point was a line crossed? So here's Jimbo Fisher, and just listen to him trying to roll this out. He is just absolutely beside himself.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. The way we do things, the ethics in which we do things, and these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way.
Referred to him as God later, right? See, this is the stuff I'm here for, Scott. I know that you're like, you've got kind of concerned Scott Mitchell look on your face, like, oof, this is bad. I love every freaking second of this. You remember, okay, last week when we were talking about this, we have an NIL discussion every dang day on the show, right? Don't
yes,
we?
It
of some sort.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not, because we're trying to figure it out, just like everybody else is, right? And we're trying to.
It's a dramatic change in college football. I mean, change. I mean, it's upheaval everything. So this isn't just some passing thing.
Do you remember when Mike Bray last week, Notre Dame's head basketball coach,
yeah,
when they were all meeting of the minds there in the world of college basketball and college athletics, and he said, you know what I think is that these guys, college basketball and college football coaches should stop whining and adjust. Right? Just change with the time. This isn't about
change
you.
Or retire.
We get paid a lot of money. Last time I checked, we get paid a lot of money. You need to change or retire.
Yeah.
Right? And this speaks to these two guys. That conversation speaks to these two guys.
Yep.
Okay? Two guys who make a combined $19 million a year. Okay?
Right.
Per year.
Yes.
As college amateur football coaches.
Yes.
And they're sitting over in the corner going, no, he's a cheater. No, he's a cheater. You know why? Well, he gave this player $31,000. And they're bickering about who's breaking the rules and who's not. It is amazing. Because SEC Media Day, we got to get Nate to see if he'll send us down to SEC Media Day, Scott.
Utah plays Florida.
Well, there's that. Utah.
Just
and,
for that.
You know, BYU plays Arkansas.
Right. Exactly.
This is part of the research.
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't we be down there?
When you're Nick Saban and you've won, seven national championships and you're the perennial top team in the country.
Yes.
And you're whining about this and you're actually crying about this. And what it is, it feels like someone out Nick Saban. And he just doesn't like that.
He's doing this thing, and it's always been this kind of, it's the reason people don't like the interviewed Nick Saban, because he has like an answer that makes it sound like I'm trying to help you guys understand we're all getting through this together, and just as a matter of reference, we had the second recruiting class last year. A&M was the first recruiting class. They bought all their players. We didn't buy one. It's like, and then he goes, we made $1.8 billion in the NFL our players have since 1994. It's a tremendous amount, or 2001 or something like that. Right, it's no doubt. He paints this picture of all we do is develop guys, graduate them, teach them how to be NFL players, and then they go off and make almost $2 billion because they're good people. A&M's buying guys up and cheating. Now that's the other thing that was said, is nobody ever said the word cheating, and then here comes Jimbo Fisher and goes, "I'm not a cheater," and they go, "Well, no one accused you of being a cheater. They just said you used NIL differently." And it's right now, because we don't have a total, and right now we're trying to ring it, kind of reel it in. But the last 365 days with NIL has been insane. So then it gets to this, my favorite part of all of this discussion, which is the part where these two guys who have been in a million coaching rooms together, who've been in a million conferences together, who have to walk across the dadgum field with both of their the state troopers of both states standing next to them with their big flat brim hats. And making sure no shenanigans
polyester
goes on.
Pants.
I want
way too tight.
I will buy the pay-per-view of just that 4.5 minutes of the last 2 minutes of the football game, and then when they have to walk across. So it's now gotten personal with these two guys. Here's what Jimbo Fisher said.
Personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it.
I love the, I want to say something to my kids out there. I got your back. Right? Like, well, I love you guys so much. I'm gonna fight for y'all, you 17-year-old kids. You know, big bad Nick Saban coming after you, after y'all. And here's the thing, too. He is absolutely doing what Nick Saban's doing just on the other side with this whole, our hearts are pure and our hands are clean. Not one of them can actually be truthful about that. And here's what's okay. Here's what I'm okay with. I'm okay with them trying to figure out NIL and these kids getting paid. Just admit it and stop pretending like at $19 million a year between the two of you that you are better than everybody else because – or that you're above reproach. You're not. Neither of you are. And Nick Saban needs to just shut her down. Oh, my goodness. Alabama and Utah State play. There's no reason the entire Zone Sports Network does not need to go to media days down in SEC country.
So this whole vibe feels to me like – here's two people that have always understood playing paying players, right? There's always been that nature. It's always been a part of the SEC. Texas A&M's been doing it for decades, okay? So they all have, okay? Let's not fool ourselves. And what it sounds like, the vibe of this, it feels like that TV show Unrighteous Gemstones, right? That these people hide behind that they're all good and they're talking about the word of God and they're doing all this stuff.
Right.
In reality, they're reaping in millions and millions of dollars.
Bank accounts are getting huge.
And underneath it all, and you peel back the curtain, they're really kind of, they're all guilty.
Everything comes back to you.
Nick Saban's guilty. Look, Jimbo Fisher's guilty. And they all hide behind, we do things the right way and this is about protecting our honor. It's about, you know, it's about.
They all make money on the same exact thing, which is this roster of 100 kids that is at their school, and they've done it for decades. And that's not a bad thing. But don't pretend like there's this amateurism.
Don't go attacking each other. Just leave it alone.
I like the attacking each other, though. I mean, it makes me
understand.
Feel so
good.
And when they asked him at the thing, has Nick Saban reached out to you? Yeah, he called. Did you answer it? No, I didn't answer. Mm-mm. I haven't talked to him. And you go, this is great. At some point last night, when the word gets out, Jimbo Fisher, his phone rings and it says Nicky Boy on the phone. I don't know what he has for his name on there. And he maybe it just says God on the phone because that's how he referred to him in his press conference.
It's Nick and then in parentheses it's God.
God.
Yeah. And then there's a comma and then it's GOAT.
Right. Right. Sure.
And then the parentheses.
Football czar. Yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
And he looked at it and he pressed decline. No, I'm not answering that. Honey, you should get that. That's Nicky Boy. I'm mad at him right now. I'm not answering that phone call. He made me feel bad today. And then he brings up, and then he brings
they'll
up.
They'll hug it out later, though.
They will not. He said they're done.
Yeah, but that's right now. It's just how they do things.
Oh, so he'll send him some sun tea from the South.
They'll hug it out.
My favorite is that he invoked the name of Bobby Bowden.
You cut me, Nick. You hurt me.
Yeah.
You hurt me bad.
He goes, look, I mean,
Jumbo.
He invoked the name of Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden taught me how to do things right. When you're coached by a guy like Bobby Bowden, how to do things right, then you see what's going on in this guy's locker room. Why don't you go off and investigate him, huh? Woo! I can't get enough of this. If we can't get our boss to figure out how to get all of our shows down there to just all day stream the SEC drama that is there, you have to love this type of reality football, this type of reality TV that's going on. Now, just this interaction has made college football worse. It just has made it worse. We'll talk about it a little bit next, and we'll jump in. We got more to go.
If that's not a first world problem right there, Nick Saban, seriously. That is the biggest first world problem I think I've seen this entire year.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some math on the break here on those 25 guys who got $3 million worth of opportunities last year that Nick Saban called the right way. We'll talk about it. We'll bring it up. More to go right here on Unrivaled. We continue. Yes, got tons going around the corner. We're watching the PGA Championships here, keeping an eye on all of the leaders here. We've even got the people we're cheering for because our listeners have been qualified to get that putter courtesy of Uinta Golf and the major giveaway. More to go on the program. Stick with us. It continues right here at 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Alex Keery with the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Really excited about today, Scott.
So,
really love it.
Yeah.
Really love it. By the way, we have golf up on the screen. You went to golf, the 2022 PGA Championship coverage on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Brought to you by Uinta Golf, improving Utah golfers since 1971. It's Uinta Golf. We've got some of our own listeners who've been qualified to win the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway, and I'm pulling for them. And, hey, even Abraham Answer's showing up in the top five. Let's go.
Yeah, we got it going on, that's for sure. You know, getting back to Nick Saban.
Saban.
God and the GOAT. You can't have reality TV without primetime, right? Primetime has to get in on the act. Primetime.
I thought you meant like the actual time of the day. No. That helps too.
Coach Prime, Deion Sanders.
Coach Prime gets involved.
His son saw this and actually sent a note to his dad.
Woke him up.
And said, man, Nick Saban's calling you a liar, Dad. So
I think everybody saw.
Deion, Primetime Sanders is right. Getting ready to respond. But nobody calls Deion a liar. Nobody.
It's gotten weird. What's good is that, look, you know what all the coaches in all of college football can do? They can every so often you can try to pile on Nick Saban for something. It's not, you know, even though they didn't win the national championship last year, right. People recognize how amazing Nick Saban's
program
is.
That's what he's all bent about.
But you think it's still that?
Heck yes.
Number two in recruiting, number two after the last poll came out.
Here we go. It's all downhill.
Everything's
from
number two.
If I was these
My whole life is a big giant number two.
If I was these coaches, I'd just shut my mouth. Serious. Why are you drawing attention to yourself? Because you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to investigate you, and someone's going to find out you're all a bunch of criminals. So be quiet.
Nobody who watches
just
this exchange.
Be quiet.
Nobody who watches this exchange thinks that there's a good guy and a bad guy there.
No.
They all know that it's a couple of shady guys. That's all that they know. And so when Jimbo Fisher comes out and he starts, just going back and forth, up and down. Look at this guy. You look into him. You're going to find stuff you don't like. That's what people who coach for him. And you're like, okay. Listen, man, you're going a little bit too hard on the defensive side of things.
Yeah, better not let people look at
but
you.
But they rolled out. They're going to have a press conference the night after that this video gets released, and Nick Saban makes these comments. Nick Saban tries to call Jimbo Fisher. I don't know if it was to say, hey, man, you saw this thing, and I said something, and it wasn't a personal attack on you. But there's nothing that can be said now. Cat's out of the bag. The bell's been rung. You can't unring it. All these things. But nobody is surprised by the amount of money that's been thrown around. The numbers that they're talking about, no one is surprised about. Still the most insane number out of all of this is how much these two dudes are getting paid. Those are the most insane numbers. And then now we're okay to start paying these guys a little bit. So did he say?
But see, they're worth it, Alex.
Oh, come on.
They really are worth it. But I'm going to go back to something I said.
Oh, you said that without irony. Well, they're worth $9.5 million apiece.
Okay. Yeah. They actually
per year?
They actually are. They are. Look, they're worth it, which is why they just shut their mouth. Seriously. Like Nick Saban should never ever complain for 2 seconds. Should never ever complain, should never call anybody out, should just realize that he is the tiger. He doesn't have the tiger by the tail. He is the absolute tiger. He is the top of the mountain. And I know he knows, hey, everyone's trying to knock me off the mountain, but he has something. When we had this discussion yesterday, we talked about the best football coaches in the country. And they had Nick Saban at number one, and I said, absolutely. Nick Saban is the best coach in the United States of America because he takes these players who are great, and they have all this raw talent, and he actually turns them into tremendous pros.
Which he made sure to mention yesterday and the during value, the same press conference.
But it's true. I mean, and the value of that, if you have, is beyond, like, you can't put a dollar figure to it. when you put it, I've seen so many guys from these big name programs in my time in the NFL who are tremendous talents who couldn't make it in the NFL because, and a lot of them came from Florida State where Bobby Bowden was. And a lot of it is they just out-athlete everybody else. And there were guys that just didn't understand and learn how to be a professional. And that's the thing, that's the secret sauce that Nick Saban has.
Somebody who flies by and sees this exchange, for you and I, we're reading these stories every day. We're looking at these, we're investigating this stuff every day. We're looking at this. We have a dog in this fight because you and I both, our worlds are mostly revolving around college football. And it's the thing that I love to cover the most. It's the thing that I love to watch the most as a fan. It's the thing that if something gets threatened, that's the one I'm most worried about. But this is bad for college football. It looks bad because on the outside looking in, somebody who is watching this thing and doesn't really follow it as an everyday thing, they're just a fan of their college team, they look at it and go, what on earth are we talking about? What on earth are these guys fighting about? How this is terrible for college football because the image is awful. You call it a first world problem. These guys who are worth $9.5-10 million a year just in their base salary for their for their universities are sitting around here going, "Well, he's cheating because he's buying players." Now I just did some rough math. That number right there, Scott, what is it?
120,000.
120,000. I'm showing on my calculator on my phone. Nick Saban said that his players were paid out $3 million last year. With NIL. Yeah. And I kind of go, that's good. Is that good? Is that pretty good? I don't know. And then he goes, and out of that 3 million, 25 guys are the ones who participated in that. Now, their deals were probably all different, but 120,000 represents the average of what those 25 players were receiving in NIL money last year. So when he says they went out and bought all their players, and then Nick Saban goes, "Hey, we paid 25 guys on our team $120,000 a year, or we didn't pay them; they got that money out of NIL."
Do you want to know the reality?
That's where Jimbo Fisher got the money too, technically.
Yeah, but the reality is that's not it's not equitable.
Of like
it's not. It's not all of them. I mean, Bryce Young probably got a million of that.
Right.
Right.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the average. Right. There's a guy in there who got 14,000. There's a guy who got 380,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But $3 million. We were trying to do the math on the Built Bar deal one time, right? And I don't know what we came up with. I don't know what the exact number is.
I think it was like $500,000.
Yeah, it was like $500,000. Yeah. For 130 guys for a year.
Yeah.
So when Nick Saban rolls up, do you think, and $3 million, by the way, is probably a low, low, low number compared to what it's going to be in the next few years. And probably under-the-table deals are still happening, by the way. Under-the-table deals are still happening because, like you said, Scott, somebody's talking to these recruits. The number one thing these guys do when they sit down with these coaches, what does Nick Saban say? Nick Saban said it. Jimbo Fisher said it. These kids ask, how much do I get? What can you give me? And he said, it's bad for you business owners out there. You know why? Because this kid, you're going to show up to the game and you're going to brag, I brought that kid here. And then he's not going to play, and he's going to transfer, and you're going to go, I'm never going to give money again to this program. BS. These guys are here to throw money at your program.
I don't know that anyone really knows the actual number that's being spent on NIL because it's not reported.
Will it go up, or do you think it'll even out and kind of go down, or do you think people are overpaying right now for the value they get?
I actually thought that like it'll just be a frenzy. I likened it to the dot-com bubble, you know, all these tech companies that were showing up and it just went crazy.
Right.
And then it kind of settled down and then the dust settled and then legitimate companies actually started sprouting and showing and have been amazing, you know.
Here's the
eBay
thing.
Amazon,
right,
you
right,
know
right.
All these
and you don't know which ones are actually real.
But now you do, right?
Right. It's sort of evened out.
We know
which ones
I thought that was the case. And when we had our conversation with Darlene from CW Urban. And she said, you know, we feel this is a way to give back. So they're not even looking at this from an economic perspective where it's like, okay, we're gonna spend X dollars on marketing. It's in our budget. We know we're gonna get some return. I mean, marketing is a weird thing anyways. It's like, how do you know it's really reaching people?
Even when they say, well, we just want to get our name out there in the community anyway. So, you pay money to make that campaign happen. You don't know if it's going to return money to the bottom line. You just hope it does.
But they also said, we just feel like, look, we wanted to give back. This is just a way for us to give back. And so that never goes away. You know, this is our donation every year. We want to give back and
all these and donors, they want to
be a good patron.
Yes, they all want to quote unquote give back. And
you know what it is? And it's the weirdest thing in the world. And it's why people go. It's why they have donors. It's why they have boosters. All these boosters want is to rub shoulders with these athletes. That's all they want.
What's the term they use?
Jock sniff. I guess it would
that's
be
endearing, isn't it?
I guess it would be like a compression short sniff now because they don't even wear jocks. Just compression short sniffer.
Oh my gosh! You know what? Those two terms I never want to hear them again. No, but
you know the players wear girdles today too. You know what the pants? So maybe it's a girdle sniffer.
I can't girdle sniff the sniff. Okay, hold on. But lest we digress, if you're a donor though, if you have tons of money,
what
to
they
throw,
call it? I'm not.
I know. If you have money,
it's like sex in a pan is just a
dessert. Oh my heavens!
Just call it.
Got
into
a weird situation here. What was I gonna? Oh, let's say you're one of those donors, Scott, and you have a car dealership that makes a kajillion dollars, and you want to just give back. But if you're interested and you want to give your money a certain way to the school, what's more interesting to you? Landing a 5-star recruit that beats out your rival down, you know, wherever it is. You're able to get that 5-star athlete to the school for the school because of your, you know, part of the collective or whatever, or would you rather be the guy who goes, I'm helping them get some nice housing while they're already here? You know what the answer is. You would much rather pay your money to get a guy to come to your school than you would
1,000%
to keep them there.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering where these donors want to throw money, it's at the guys to get them there, and they're figuring out ways to.
The boosters have always been like, what can we do? How can we help?
It's not just to get the best players in. It's to beat that other freaking team across town.
It is.
In the recruiting game.
Yes.
And so that is important.
What it is we want to win championships. I want to show up at the games. I want to make sure that we win.
And I had a part in it.
And how can I do that?
Yep. I had a part in it.
These business owners, the boosters, are successful at what they do. And maybe some of them have skirted the lines of, you know, morally right, or you know, maybe
some made payments in the past that were under the table.
Who knows what?
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about building businesses, you know, and what kind of scruples it took for them to actually grow and build their businesses. And I'm not saying that everyone, but it does happen. And they go, look, I know what it takes to be successful in business. I know the hours, the time. I know the people you got to kind of schmooze and rub shoulders with and, you know, give them a high five or slip them something under the table. I know how to play
the
game.
Take them to Harry Potter world.
Whatever. Right. And so they understand this, but it's like I want to sit in the stands and I want to have my name on something.
Right.
Call a building, you know, a center, whatever.
But if
for
I can
something,
say that, if I, can
I just
say
want
that,
my name there.
Right. And if I can say that I chipped in to help them get that national championship, even better.
All they want to be the most important people in the building. Because when
the only
you're
way to
when
do
you're,
that, Scott, is to put your name on the building. Come on.
Right, I know. But that and that's what
take
they want to
pick in stadium.
When you're successful, like when you're successful in business, no one notices.
Right.
Not like if you get involved in sports. Because people know certain names at BYU and they know certain names at Utah.
Scott, people didn't even know what – half the people who would walk by this arena when it was named Energy Solutions Arena didn't know what the – they never even heard of Energy Solutions until they saw it on the side of the building. And then they go look it up and go, oh, right? I mean, that's how they made those decisions.
A lot of people didn't know who Ryan Smith was.
He owns the Jazz, and then here you go.
And now he owns the Jazz, and you're talking about Ryan Smith all the time.
Now he's suddenly Danny Ainge's boss and Dwayne Wade's
Dwayne's
partner.
Buddy.
Yeah. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. It's awful, and I love every second of it. I love this exchange that
prime
these guys have.
Time.
Oh, we'll get more into primetime later. We definitely have more college football to discuss. We've got a what are the odds around the corner you don't want to miss. We've got a market update. We've got ourselves that what are the odds where we're going to throw our numbers in the ring and see what we come up with on the odds of something happening or not happening. It's all coming up next. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
What's going to happen? This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. We can't stop talking about it across the entire world of sports, right? Especially if you're a college football fan. Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, I am here to watch two of the biggest names in college football just implode. And it just makes it more interesting. The interesting thing is they're going to play each other, right?
Yeah.
That's to me, I love that. All right, so we're jumping in here. We got a lot going on. What are the odds? Goes like this. We give you a scenario. You give us a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. It's all brought to you by the folks at Sound Sleep Medical. Are you snoring at night? Do you currently use that CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? Oh, boy. Here comes Scott again. Scott does. But you know what? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com today. So what are the odds that that's going to be so fun. What's the actual date of that? Alabama plays Texas A&M, and right now, Bama's favored by 16.5. Do you think
how?
That line moved?
How can Alabama be favored when Texas A&M
number
has all these
class.
Great recruiting classes?
They cheat, man. Let me see here. Alabama and Texas A&M. They're playing, October 8th. Same day BYU plays Notre Dame. Texas A&M and Alabama play one another on October 22nd of this year. And it's a 16.5-point game. By the way, A&M won that game last year, didn't they? Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
With like a backup quarterback.
They kind of have Nick Saban's number. I mean, Johnny Manziel beat them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With a, mm-hmm. what, it was a 6-5 Texas A&M team.
Yeah, A&M won. Yeah, they won that game last year. That was a fun game to watch, too. That Calzada kid came in for Texas A&M, ended up throwing for 3 touchdowns. Bryce Young threw for 370, but it wasn't enough. So, yeah, Texas A&M beat. At the time, it was number one Alabama. And they came in. So that was at Texas A&M. So now old Jimbo Fisher's got to go to Tuscaloosa. Oh, my gosh. This is why I love college football, man. I get so excited about this stuff.
Tuscaloosa.
So what are the odds that Texas A&M loses to, or I guess Nick Saban puts it on Jimbo Fisher by 3 touchdowns?
Alabama's going to kill Texas A&M.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah.
21 points is an insane line.
Nah, they got
for those
that.
Two games.
Nah, this
is teams.
This is Alabama.
Okay.
Alabama.
What do you have? 3 touchdowns. That they beat him by 3 touchdowns plus.
I'm going to go.
What do you got?
I'm going to go Chad. No, I'm not going to go that high. I'm just going to go Chad. No, I'll go Chad Ochocinco.
Oh, well, you said it.
Ochocinco.
They're Ochocinco. Yeah, 85%.
Percent. Ochocinco percent.
Percento. Let me see here.
Percento? What's the Spanish
porcentaje.
Word? Porcentaje. Porcentaje.
Yeah, there you go. Fahutaje.
Ma'uf. Chris Ma'ufala.
Yeah, Ma'ufala, man. That guy's tough. Let me see here. I'm going to go with a – let me see here. I'm trying to think because I want to make it a – that they win by 21, I think it's going to be tough. Because the person with the biggest chip on their shoulder in a situation, the person who's the most offended is actually Jimbo Fisher, right? And so I think that – I'm going to go with a Julio Jones.
Julio.
Former Alabama Crimson Tide member. I'll give it a Julio Jones 11% chance that it's by 21 and that it's 21 or more, because I think that Jimbo Fisher is the one that's going to have the bigger chip on the shoulder. So there you go. There's mine.
What about Kenny Stabler, 12%?
Oh, the Snake, was he a Crimson Tider?
Yeah.
I guess he was.
So was Joe Namath.
Those guys were all Bear Bryant dudes? Oh, Namath I knew. Yeah. I guess I didn't think of Kenny Stabler as being...
He's an Alabama boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Scott, what are the odds that that you're going to upgrade to the Amazon Prime package that'll get you watching the Thursday NFL games? That's assuming you don't have it. Let's assume you don't have it.
And I know,
I was going to say, Scott refers to everything, like everything goes back to whatever shows he's streaming on HBO or streaming on Netflix or streaming on Amazon
Hey,
Prime.
The Dish Bros, they took care of me. I know. Everything. I got everything.
So if we look at it, if you didn't have Amazon Prime, would you get it? What are the odds you would get it for those Thursday night NFL games? Thursday night NFL games.
You know, NFL fans, they get the NFL Red Zone. They get the NFL ticket.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fans. I mean, and it's a great way to watch NFL football. I don't see any reason why. I don't think Amazon Prime is that much money. And I think it's worth it.
That's how they get you, because all of these streaming services, I don't think it's that much money.
I think it's really high.
I'm going to go
Marco Coleman,
mm.
who played for the Miami Dolphins, also played for San Diego Chargers.
Uh-huh.
90%.
Whoa. See, I don't think that people are going to be I don't see people going and going, hey, that Thursday night game is so important to me, I'm going to get Amazon Prime. I think the average fan is going to go, nah, I'll pass. I'll watch the highlights on ESPN later. I bet that's going to happen. I'm going to give it a Harvey Unga when he played at BYU, 45%. There you go. Oh, my heavens. Was that Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah.
That he pulled a me on that putt. 3.5-foot putt. Rimmed that thing out like it was whoop. It just did like a little whoosh, went around that hole. No good, man. He's only one under right now. Tiger ended the day at 74. Going to be in danger of missing that cut if he doesn't play well. But he already started limping at the end of the round, Scott. Oof. What are the odds, Scott?
It's for dramatic effect.
Scott, now what are the odds that Tiger Woods makes the cut?
Makes a cut?
Mm-hmm.
Did we do this?
We did a couple days ago.
We thought it was fairly high.
And we thought it was going to be high.
I'll give it a Kenny Stabler 12%.
That he makes the cut?
Yeah.
I think it's a toss-up. So I'm going to go with a...
It's an undulating course. And yeah. He's been on two of them now that I would imagine that would hurt his leg.
I'm going to go with the Mike Singletary 50% chance.
That's right
down the middle.
Middle of the road.
Yeah, well, I just don't think.
That's like not even voting.
Came down from 80-something
percent. It's a 50-50. He may or may not.
12% is really low. Like, I know. I think that's a dumber move than my move.
No, I'm actually saying something significant.
You have a hot take. Is that what you are?
I just know we
hot
do
take
it. I just know we do it right here.
Hot take
other,
Mitchell over
other
here.
Other people have to buy for Tiger Woods.
They have
making.
To cheat their way in. What are the yeah. odds?
Yep.
Good. All right, we'll take the break here. RGS Exteriors and Construction bringing you this portion of the program. Does your home need that new look for this year? RGS Exterior and Construction can help you. Stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding especially, they'll help you out. Get that new look for this year by giving them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors and Construction. We'll come back. More to go. Right around the corner, BYU TV Zone. The Deseret News contributor Dave McCann going to weigh in a little bit on some of the BYU scheduling changes that we've seen, as well as the Tennessee buyout that happened, and just his thoughts on the world of college football that has now been spinning around a little bit quicker now that Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher have been going at it in the media. So,
a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.